What we found is that the majority of people reported reduced distress, reduced shame, and reduced hopelessness after talking to someone about their suicidality. And 75% of those people reported that their suicidal thoughts actually decreased in intensity after those conversations, right? So these myths can keep us silent, but the data and personal experiences really tell us different things. Having these conversations is actually more beneficial than not having them. So then that brings up the question of, well, how do we do this, right? How do we talk about suicide? So we're going to talk through kind of some practical steps, if you will, about how we might go about this. If you're talking to someone who you have care and concern about, these steps might be appropriate. And if someone discloses to you that they're thinking about suicide, some of this is still going to be applicable. So there's a lot of acronyms out there in this space, and I'm going to share yet another new one with you. But that's because I think that this acronym represents the state of the research really accurately, and I think it's easy to remember, right? So that acronym is CARE. That stands for connecting with the people around you, right? So noticing if they're struggling and then connecting with them about that. Asking directly and non-judgmentally about suicide. Responding with compassion and without panic. And then encouraging support and safety. So we're going to talk through each of these steps individually. All right, so our first step in the CARE acronym is connect. So what we mean by that is tuning into those around you, right? So noticing when something seems off, showing up for people in a way that communicates you care. So it's true that mental health conditions like depression, substance use, bipolar disorder can all increase the likelihood that someone may eventually die by suicide. But that doesn't tell us moments when someone is struggling, right? When we might be best to connect with someone or help them through a hard time. So really that's where connection comes in, right? It's being tuned in and noticing when something seems off. So that might be like these warning signs that we talked about. So noticing behavior changes, so changes in sleep, changes in substance use. It might be changes in the way people are talking. Right, so they might be talking about feeling trapped or giving up or that they just can't do it anymore. People might also tell you directly that they're thinking about suicide. We know that when individuals disclose these thoughts, they're most likely to disclose to friends and family, not professionals. So what that means is our connection with those around us may be one of the most important things to help open that door for disclosure. It also might be more subtle, something that we just feel is off. Right? Something in your gut that you're like, I don't know, things just don't seem right. Trust your gut. Check in. It's always going to be worth it. Okay. So the next step is to ask. So the first step really helps build the bridge to these questions. These are uncomfortable things to ask. These words are hard to say. We're often worried, am I going to say the right thing? Right? And it makes us anxious. And if you feel that way, you're not alone, right? In a study of US physicians, so these are trained medical providers, over half of them said that they're uncomfortable asking about suicide, even though they know it's beneficial for them to do, right? There was also a seminal study back in the 70s where they found that simply talking about suicide produced a physiological response. Right, people were physiologically reactive to this topic. So it is scary, it is uncomfortable. Right? The hope is that today we can help kind of add some language that makes it feel a little less scary